The Local Government News Roundup is proudly supported by Davidson. For 30 years, Davidson has been strengthening the local government sector by identifying and providing the people, expertise and experience that local government needs to enhance its capability, productivity and performance. Davidson is nationally recognised for its executive recruitment services and over the past 4 years has built a business advisory practice rapidly evolving into one of the nation's foremost and trusted local government business consultancy firms. The Davidson methodology and approach is simple. Thinking beyond now and aiming to be a valued partner with your local government, not just for the immediate project, but for the next 30 years. Speak to Justin Hanney or Seamus Scanlon to find out more, or head to davidsonwp.com.au. Davidson, your future, your partner. Coming up on the Local Government News Roundup, all eyes are on the Victorian budget this week with delays and cuts predicted for major infrastructure projects. Disruptions expected from industrial action at Ballarat Council. Melbourne Council's in the news over waste collection issues. A Sydney community in shock after the sudden death of a popular mayor. Another New South Wales council looks at demerger options. Townsville Council chooses an interim CEO. Adelaide Council rates rises under the spotlight. And big changes for councils in England after last week's elections. All of that and more just ahead. It's Monday, the 6th of May, 2024, and this is the Local Government News Roundup. Hello, I'm Chris Eddy. The program is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory services, and from Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. A funding dispute between the state and federal governments has put the timeline of Victoria's planned road projects in doubt, according to a report from The Age today. The disagreement arises from the Albanese government's commitment to return funding for nationally significant roads to a 50-50 split between the two levels of government, rather than the 80% previously covered by the Commonwealth. Some projects may not proceed as planned if the policy is enforced. Councils across the state will be closely watching the outcome of this week's budget and any adjustments to the timing of the state government's infrastructure pipeline as a result. The final section of the Western Freeway upgrade between Melton and Caroline Springs is one project that may be delayed, according to the Age report. Level crossing removal projects may also face delays due to expected budget cuts. Some council services in Ballarat may be disrupted, with staff voting to take industrial action after rejecting a revised enterprise agreement. The union is calling for a pay increase of 6% in the first year, according to reporting from 3BA Ballarat, and 5% in the following 2 years. They say frontline workers in Bendigo and Geelong earn around $4,000 more annually than those in Ballarat. The city has proposed an increased pay offer of 3.5%, which would require finding ongoing savings of approximately $2.5 million in future years. Knox City Council is facing pressure to revert to weekly rubbish pickup after complaints about overflowing bins, according to a report from Nine News. The change to fortnightly collection was made in July last year due to rising waste disposal costs. Councillor Darren Pearce is pushing for a return to weekly collection, which he says would only cost ratepayers an additional 10 cents per day. But Knox Mayor Jude Dwight maintains the current system is cost efficient and well received by many residents. Port Phillip City Council has deferred a decision on the discontinuation of a private curbside EV charging pilot and a halt to accepting new permit applications. The Age reported last week that the council was set to abandon the trial due to concerns about costs, flood risk and the use of public space. The recommendation to discontinue the pilot followed a review which recognised some benefits, but found that over 90% of the municipality was excluded due to eligibility requirements, which impacted the scalability of that type of charging infrastructure. The council has pressed ahead with its support for the exploration and installation of public pole-mounted charging technology, with criteria to prioritise access across the municipality. The number of electric vehicles in Port Phillip has nearly doubled since 2019, and it's estimated there'll be about 11,000 EVs in the municipality by 2030. Meanwhile, the Herald Sun reports today on calls for action in response to two independent reports that raised concerns about accountability and governance in the council's tender process for curbside waste and recycling collection. The reports investigated why some bins weren't being collected after a change of contractor to Citywide last year. In a statement, Mayor Heather Consolo said the report suggested several oversights by the council and Citywide that led to substandard delivery. The implementation of recommendations from the reports is being monitored by the Council's Audit and Risk Committee. Swinburne University of Technology has become the first foundation member of the newly established La Trobe Aerospace Technology Precinct at La Trobe Regional Airport. Swinburne's Aerostructures Innovation Research Hub will play a crucial role in the precinct, contributing expertise in next-generation aerostructures for civil aviation, eVTOL aircraft, uncrewed air systems, and space exploration. The partnership aims to support the creation of new industries and generate employment outcomes. Briefly in other news, South Gippsland Shire Mayor Claire Williams has been appointed as the new president for ALGWA Victoria. Councillor Williams takes up the role from Maroondah Mayor Kylie Spears, who will remain on the state committee as past president. Nillumbik Council is seeking community feedback on a proposal to name a reserve in the Civic Drive precinct in Greensboro as Kirrup Park. The term Kirrup is the Woi Wurrung word for friend. The proposed name will need community support and final approval from Geographic Names Victoria. And Hume Council is holding two forums this month to discuss supporting diversity and addressing racial discrimination following a 2023 survey by Victoria University. The research, part of a Vic Health funded project, focused on barriers to reporting racism and the need for support after such experiences. The forums on the 9th and 16th of May will discuss the research findings and explore ways to foster community support and improve avenues for reporting racism or accessing support. I'm delighted to welcome a new supporting sponsor to the Local Government News Roundup family. It's Ventia, a leading essential infrastructure services provider, redefining service excellence for communities across Australia and New Zealand. Ventia is operating at over 400 sites and with a large and diverse workforce of over 35,000. They specialise in the long-term operation, maintenance and management of critical public and private assets and infrastructure across a broad range of industry segments, including defence and social infrastructure, infrastructure services, telecommunications and transport. For local government, Ventia specialises in the end-to-end delivery of open space management, soft and hard facilities management, street cleansing, minor capital works and much more. Ventia brings capability in whole-of-life asset management and robust use of data for better decision-making for their clients. Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Head to ventia.com to find out more. Devastating news to start our national roundup today. The Mayor of Blacktown City Council, Tony Bleasdale, has died while on the way home from a study tour to China and South Korea. The news was revealed via multiple news reports on Friday before being confirmed later in the day in a statement from the council. 77-year-old Mr. Bleasdale had been mayor since 2019, was re-elected last year, and served as a Blacktown councillor since 1996. Deputy Mayor Councillor Chris Quilkey expressed condolences to Tony's wife Nina, his children and their extended family. He said Tony was loved by his community and he loved it back, with a generous heart and a genuine commitment to a bright future. News of the death of Mayor Bleasdale was reported earlier on Friday by media outlets, including the Sydney Morning Herald and the Daily Telegraph. Links to those reports are in the show notes. Valet, Tony Bleasdale, OAM. The councillor who lost her position on Upper Hunter Shire Council says the decision to remove her was unreasonable and she will challenge it. The Newcastle Herald reported that Elizabeth Flaherty says her requests to join council meetings online were regularly refused by the council, which she says is an abuse of power. Her position had been vacated due to missing three consecutive ordinary council meetings without a leave of absence. She intends to challenge the ruling through the New South Wales Civil and Administrative Tribunal. The Herald reports that Ms Flaherty's removal follows that of former councillor Nick Jones at Lake Macquarie Council last year for the same reason. The Northern Beaches community may get a say on a potential demerger into its former bodies of Manly, Warringah and Pittwater councils at the September local government elections. The Northern Beaches Council was formed in 2016 from the compulsory amalgamation of the three former councils. The council last week resolved to seek an urgent briefing on a preliminary desktop analysis of the financial implications of a demerger and more information on the cost of conducting a poll in conjunction with the elections in September. Ku-ring-gai Council is threatening legal action against the Minns government over housing reforms that it claims will destroy heritage and tree canopy in Sydney's North Shore suburbs. The Sydney Morning Herald has reported on the council's opposition to the transport-oriented development program, a key part of the state government's plan to build 377,000 homes by 2029. The council's mayor, Sam Nagai, describes the government's approach as a one-size-fits-all approach with a lack of planning, and he's expressed concerns about heritage, urban canopy, wildlife and climate adaptation. Revelations by former transport executives that traffic chaos at the Rozelle Interchange was identified a decade ago have been pounced on by Inner West Mayor Darcy Byrne as proof that the planning of West Connex was one of the great infrastructure debacles in New South Wales history. Mayor Byrne said the evidence given to a New South Wales Upper House inquiry showed the former government knew that the design of the project would result in unprecedented traffic congestion. He's supported calls for compensation for the Inner West community, urgent investment in new public transport services and new surgical solutions to fix the structural problems with the interchange. In Queensland, and Townsville City Council has identified a preferred candidate known as Candidate Z for the acting CEO position following the resignation of Prinz Ralston. The Townsville Bulletin reported that the candidate will undergo reference and criminal history checks before formal approval. Meanwhile, Mayor Troy Thompson's attempt to add three political advisers to the payroll was denied when no councillor was prepared to move the proposal. Alternate motions for two advisers and then one adviser also failed for want of a seconder. The City of Darwin has disputed claims by Darwin International Airport that it offered to pay full rates to the council. In a report from Australian Aviation, a council spokesperson said the airport owes more than $1 million in rate equivalent payments and that the airport had suggested paying a discounted amount based on its own calculations. The airport argues that it does not receive the same services from the council as other ratepayers and that paying full rates would make businesses in the airport precinct worse off than other businesses in the city. Discussions between the council and the airport on the rates issue have been ongoing for over 3 years. The Adelaide Advertiser has reported on proposed council rate increases this year, with Burnside Council proposing the highest increase of any metropolitan council at 14%. The increase would add $299 a year to the average residential rates bill. Onkaparinga is proposing a 6.8% increase. 6.5% is likely at Playford, and Holdsford Bay proposes 7.1%. The lowest proposed rise is 3.75% at Unley Council. It appears likely that there'll be two mayoral vacancies in Tasmania after the weekend's upper house by-elections. The Advocate is reporting today that Sorell Mayor Kerry Vincent leads the count in the rural seat of Prosser, while Glenorchy Mayor Beck Thomas has a lead in the count for the seat of Elwick. Hobart Councillor John Kelly is currently in second in voting for the seat of Hobart, some 15% behind former Greens leader Cassie O'Connor. And the city of Belmont in WA has adopted a tree preservation order prohibiting individuals from cutting, removing or destroying trees without council approval. According to Perth Now, the policy applies to trees of significant environmental, biological, cultural or historical value. However, Mayor Robert Rossi says the policy doesn't go far enough and has called on the state government to do more to protect trees. He's also suggested rewarding homeowners who retain trees on private property. More news in brief. Bayside Council in Sydney is investigating the use of local streets in Walleye Creek by rideshare operators who are creating an unofficial rank for airport passengers, causing traffic congestion and safety concerns. The Council's Transport Committee has been tasked to find solutions in collaboration with Sydney Airport. Former ISAC Region Mayor Anne Baker has been announced as the ALP's candidate for the state seat of Burdekin in Queensland. The Townsville Bulletin reports that Ms Baker, who served in local government for nearly 20 years, says she aims to combat cuts by the Liberal National Party and protect regional towns. And nominations are open for the 2024 Minister's Awards for Women in Local Government in New South Wales, recognising the achievements of women in local councils. The awards will be presented on August 20. Categories include breaking gender stereotypes, supporting women's participation, advancing the position of female representatives, increasing female participation in leadership roles, and the Councillor Lillianne Brady OAM Award. Nominations close on the 14th of June. Today's Global Roundup is just ahead. A quick reminder of two workshops coming up as we move into election mode in the state of Victoria. The VLGA is hosting free workshops on standing for local government and local women leading change. They're on the 17th and 24th of May, respectively. You'll find all the details on the VLGA's website on the events page. You'll also find details there of the upcoming Global Executive Panel on Social and Affordable Housing presented by the VLGA with LGIU. That's a live online event not to be missed this Thursday evening, the 9th of May. Now for the Global Roundup, and most results are in from local council elections across England last week, with some taking days to finalise. There's been a clear shift in political power, with the Labour Party gaining more than 180 council seats and taking control of 8 councils, according to reporting from the BBC. The Conservative Party has lost over 470 councillors, nearly half of the seats that it held, and it has lost control of 10 councils. Incumbent Tory Mayor Ben Hootchin won a third term as Tees Valley Mayor. Labour picked up 3 newly created regional mayor positions in the North East, East Midlands and York and North Yorkshire. And London Mayor Sadiq Khan won a historic third term in office. The BBC reported that Labour lost votes in wards with large numbers of Muslim voters due to its stance on the Israel-Gaza war. From Spain, news that the Barcelona City Council budget for this year of 3.8 billion euros was automatically approved due to a council deadlock. Catalan News reported that the mayor submitted himself to a motion of confidence, which failed, but the opposition couldn't agree on an alternative mayoral candidate. The budget represents an increase of 5.9% on last year, and the mayor, Jaume Collboni, says it will create 10,000 jobs directly in Barcelona. From Canada, a councillor at St John, Paula Radwan, has been sanctioned for breaching a code of conduct. According to a report from saltwire.com, the council has accepted the findings of an investigator's report, but the details of the allegation and the sanction are being kept confidential. Councillor Radwan has acknowledged the breach and called for changes to the process, which she says tends to be one-sided. From New Zealand, Invercargill Mayor Nobby Clark says he will not participate in the investigation of a code of conduct complaint against him, sparked by his conduct in a television interview and his use of offensive language, according to a report from Stuff. Mayor Clark has already issued a public apology, but two councillors felt he should apologise for breaching the council's code of conduct standards. Mayor Clark says the councillors should have addressed their issues with him directly before lodging a formal complaint. The investigation will be conducted by a Dunedin-based lawyer, with the final decision on any outcomes to be made by the full council. Waimakariri Council Mayor Dan Gordon has been named New Zealand's most popular mayor in a poll conducted by Curia Market Research for the Taxpayers Union. Mayor Gordon, who's served on the council for over 20 years, told the Otago Daily Times that the result was a reflection of the community and the trust placed in the council. He initially thought the news was a joke, but says he's humbled by the result and appreciates the support for the work done to make the district a great place to live and work. And while some international tourist destinations are introducing taxes to combat over-tourism, as we've reported, one Japanese town is taking a different approach. Fujika Wagachiko, a town known for its scenic views of Mount Fuji, has begun constructing a large screen to block the view due to misbehaviour by foreign tourists. The Associated Press reported that attempts to control crowds with signs and a security guard have been unsuccessful in stopping littering, ignoring traffic rules, and trespassing on private properties. The screen is expected to be completed by mid this month and will almost completely obstruct the view of Mount Fuji. And that wraps up another edition of the Local Government News Roundup. This is episode number 332, recorded on the 6th of May 2024, and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson and from Ventia. You can find the links to the stories referenced in the episode and a full transcript at lgnewsroundup.com. While you're there, check out the latest breaking news updates and learn how you can support the Roundup by becoming a subscriber through a small monthly contribution, which you can cancel at any time. The Local Government News Roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'll be back with more local government news soon. Until next time, thanks for listening and bye for now.